30, should we start now, or do you think, is anybody else coming?
No, I think we should go.
All right. So let's call this meeting to order for the Amador Air District Board of Directors, Tuesday, March 16th, 2021 at 1:30 p.m. And please join me in the Pledge of the Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the
United States of America,
and
to the republic,
one nation,
stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Thank you very much, board members. I'm looking for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we had a first and second, and I'm not sure who that was, but...
Onetto first, I think Pat Crew was the second, weren't you?
Yes.
Okay, so first by Director Onetto and second by Director Crew to approve the agenda. And Herminia, could you do a roll call vote, please?
So I have Jeff Brown.
Aye.
Linda, you're... Rhianda.
There it is. I am here.
Brian Onetto.
Aye.
Bob Stimson.
Aye.
Pat Crew.
Aye.
Frank Gax.
Aye.
And Susan Bragstad.
Aye.
And okay, Diane. I have Diane.
Oh.
Aye.
Thank you.
Sorry, didn't mean to cut you out, Diane.
No worries.
Motion.
I'm new.
Diane, how do you pronounce your last name?
You can just call it Ratten. The W is silent.
Thank you, my dear.
Okay, so moving on to public matters, not on the agenda. These are discussion items only. No action will be taken. Any person may address the board at this time upon any subject within the jurisdiction of the Amador Air District Board of Directors. However, any matter that requires action may be referred to staff or a committee for a report or recommendation for possible action at a subsequent board meeting. So please note there's a 5-minute time limit. Anybody wish to speak? Any board members? Okay, it doesn't look like we have any Zoomers that want to speak.
Nope.
Okay, so we're
Chairman
done.
Chairman Axe, can you hold on?
Not on the agenda.
Chairman Axe, this is Supervisor Brown. If you could just hold on just for a second. We just had a couple of visitors come into the room.
Okay.
They're all good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Moving on to administrative matters, approval of the minutes, any corrections or changes?
Nope.
Okay, can I get a motion from the board?
Mr. Chair, move to approve as presented.
Second.
Okay. So a motion by, I believe, Director Crew and a second by Director Brown.
Stimson.
Could you call the roll, please, Herminia?
Jeff Brown?
Aye.
Linda Rhianda?
I'll abstain since I was not on the board.
Brian Onetto?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Pat Crew?
Aye.
Frank Gax?
Aye.
Susan Bragstad?
Aye.
And Diane Ratten?
I will abstain as well. I was not on the board at the time either.
Okay, the motion carries. The minutes have been approved as is. We'll move on to item number two, which is participation in the Carl Moyer Program Funds and Resolution 21-0, our first resolution of the year, I believe. And Herminia, do you want to discuss this with the board?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, board members. Herminia Perry, APCO. the participation in the Carl Moyer Program funds in Resolution 2101. Each year, the Carl Moyer Program has RAP money, or has money that every year comes out due to our size in, of the Air District with staff limits. Every year we have designated our funds back to the RAP program, which the RAP is just basically a part of the CAPCOA program, and they oversee this program for us because we don't have the staff available to be able to administer it. So they'll find the projects for us, and if there's a viable project, they'll go ahead and use our funds for that year on these projects. The downside with us, and every year we have to go through the same thing, we have to designate the money to the RAP. The downside is that our last resolution that we got signed doesn't give the APCO any flexibility if there is a project that comes to the district. I can't take decision on it without with taking the funds anymore because we have already designated the money into the RAP. So what I'm asking for is I revised the resolution taking out the years 22 through 26 and leaving it, the body stayed exactly the same because the body wasn't the issue. It was the top title of this resolution that tied me into this allocating all my funds from year 22 through year 26 to the RAP. So by taking out a couple of words in the title, I am able to have that flexibility of being able to take my funds throughout year 22 through 26 at my convenience if I have a legitimate project.
You know, one question.
Go ahead, Director Anetto.
As far as the RAP, the Rural District Assistance Program, has that those funds that go, the $200,000 per year that go to the RAP, that is being allocated to Amador County, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. So in this case, as many of you know, we've been working on a school bus to be able to buy an electric school bus for the county, for the Unified School District. Our year 22, a couple years ago, the Air District was asked to take back our $200,000 in order to do this project. Year 23 funds have become available, and I need those extra funds to be able to buy the school bus. And the way our resolution was written, I can't take them unless I have this new resolution.
Okay.
Are there any other questions from the board at this time?
No.
Nope.
Okay, any public comment? Okay, seeing none, hearing none, we have a motion then on the approval of Resolution 21-01, please.
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we had a motion by Bob Stimson, I believe, and a second by
Director Linda.
What was the number of the motion?
21-01.
I thought I heard 03 is why I asked.
Okay, and then we have a second by Rianda, Director Rianda. So could you call the roll call vote?
Jeff Brown?
Please? Aye.
Linda Rianda?
Aye.
Brian Onetto?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Pat Crew?
Aye.
Frank Gax?
Aye.
Susan Bragstad?
Aye.
And Diane Radden?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries unanimously. Okay, well, we're moving on to item 3, which is a public hearing for Rule 428, mission statement. And there's a resolution 21-2. So we'll open the public hearing.
All right, so public hearing for Rule 428, emission statement and resolution 2102. The Air District has been working hard on this rule statement. It's a new rule to include in the SIP, which is the State Implementation Plan. Basically, our Rule 428 is an emission statement that requires emission statements from our stationary sources emitting quantities of oxides of nitrogen, NOx, or volatile organic compounds, VOCs, over 25 tons per year annually. There is three sources in our area that are affected by this rule. The three sources have been notified, and ADD staff have met with each of the sources and explained this rule and what it means to them. In your packet, you will find the proposed Rule 428 emission statement staff report. This is what's going to get submitted to the state. So it went through review by CARB staff. It's also gone through review by our engineering specialist, Ray Kapai. And at the end, you'll see the very last page of that section is the Certificate of Truth, Accuracy, and Completeness. This is going to go on the throughput forms that we send annually through to our sources, to the three that are affected by this. They're the ones that have higher than 25 tons per year of these two toxins, or emissions, sorry. That's just a sample of what it's going to look like.
You know, really, I don't know how we can ever get the truth of the matter out, but yeah, we're a non-attainment, but Amador County has minimal emissions. Right. And I mean, you could take every house, every building out of Amador County, and this area still be non-attainment because it's coming right across that county line. And is it something, I mean, how can we ever address that?
We are moving. Right now, we are in transitional. So we are moving to be in attainment. We're thinking that probably by the next time we will be in attainment. To answer your question, Director Aneto, you know, it's hard. We don't want more sensors in the county because then that would just drive it up. We have one sensor that, and unfortunately, it's not in the greatest location. And lots of our pollutants come from the vehicles on the road. And it's mostly from incoming, from people that are passing by the county. You know, we are.
You don't think it's blowing in across the county line?
Absolutely.
Could be.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah. But we are working on, you know, we're in that transition period. There are the possibilities that there was, because of the wildfire last year, we had a couple of readings that were very high. We might be able to get those thrown out because of an exceptional event. So, you know, we're working on it.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
No.
Is there any public comment in this public hearing?
Were there any comments from the three companies?
Yes, that's also included in the back. Matt did talk to them, and they were all on board, and they were all very compliant, and they understood what this rule meant to them, and they were all for it.
And right now, okay. So far, is it just the reporting on their part? Is that really what they have to do?
It's just that statement. They already report to us, so it's nothing that it doesn't act. There isn't any extra steps on their part other than just signing that statement that, to their best of their knowledge, that's what their emissions came out to be for that year.
Okay.
Okay, any other public comments from the public? Any other board comments?
Mr. Chair, okay. I'd move to close the public hearing.
Okay. We have a first by Crew. Second?
Second.
Second by Director Simpson. Could you call the roll call vote, please, for Minnie?
Jeff Brown?
Aye.
Linda Riant? Rianda?
Aye.
Brian Oneto?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Pat Crew?
Aye.
Frank Gax?
Aye.
Susan Bragstad?
Aye.
And Diane Ratton?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries unanimously. Now we need a motion to approve the resolution 21-02, please.
Supervisor Brown, so move.
A second.
So we have a first by Brown and a second by Bragstad. Could you call the roll call vote, please?
Jeff Brown?
Aye.
Linda Rianda?
Aye.
Brian Onetto?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Pat Crew?
Aye.
Frank Axe?
Aye.
Susan Bragstad?
Aye.
And Diane Ratton?
Aye.
Okay, and motion passes unanimously to approve the resolution. And we're moving on to the item number four, which is the electric vehicle charging stations. And with respect to Amador City, and can you describe this for us, Herminia?
Yes. So Amador City Electric Vehicle Charging Station, in 2018, the Amador Air District created a grant pilot program offering $5,000 to install electric vehicle charging stations in each of the five incorporated cities in Amador County. We sent out letters to each of those cities, and we did get back at that time three of them from the interested cities. Two of them declined on the spot. The cities, within a couple of months, the two of the cities dropped out, only leaving Amador City to completely by themselves going for this project. They have been working on it since then. It's been a long path. Currently, Amador City is working with Break Even Brewers, who are establishing themselves in Amador City, and they've been in talks with them to see if they could potentially install this electric charger on the Brewers' property in their parking lot. I think Bruce Smith was going to talk a little bit more about this, but Amador City is requesting to the board to consider increasing their grant amount to $10,000 just because the cost of installing it has been a little bit more than they expected. This would help offset some of the cost for the Brewers and allow the city to not pay the electric. As well, Amador City is evaluating installing a two-charger station versus a single one. Bruce, do you want to touch more on that?
Yeah, so Susan Bragstad had been working on this for quite a while, and I joined her in the process about close to a year ago. It's new to us, and getting PG&E involved is also become somewhat expensive, and for them to do any upgrades to the electric that we have in the city would be fairly extensive as well. So we've been working with a break-even brewery who's just establishing themselves in Amador City and is pulling out where Andre's bakery used to be to put their brewing apparatus in there, and they're upgrading their electric as they're doing so. So they're going through a lot of the motions that we would have to do to get the electric vehicle charging station installed anywhere in the city, and they are positive about potentially having us put the electric car charging station in their lot and allowing it to be a public parking spot for visitors to town that they could charge their vehicles. And we all kind of agree that having it be a two-port station instead of one would make much more sense so that we can grow with the future. But the costs for both the electric charging station installation are far exceed the $10,000 that we're talking about, as well as the costs for PG&E to even do the evaluation or upgrades that would need to be done are probably closer to $15,000 to $20,000 as well. So because we're going to try to partner with a merchant, we were hoping that maybe we could help offset some of the costs for them so that we could get this to be something that we could bring into Amador City. And we were just looking to see if we could get your approval and buy-in to that as well.
Any questions from the board?
This is Diane Ratton. Do we have the ability to increase those grants?
We do. Initially, with this grant pilot was started, we had $15,000 in there just because we only had those three cities that wanted to participate. Since then, the two have not want to participate anymore, so we still have the $15,000 available.
Armenia, but they might be more want to participate at $10,000.
That is very true.
Well, that's, you know, it's the same thing we had Paul Bramall, you know, trying to get.
Yeah.
He was one of the first ones as a private, you know, place trying to get in here, and he couldn't do it for just the $5,000.
Yeah.
The total upgrade that he required for his business, you know, he could not. You know, so that's kind of a little bit of a unfair situation if we change right at this point, where we have other people that have been working on it too.
This is Diane Ratten again. Did we only offer it to the cities and not to the private businesses?
We did. At the time that this program was started, it was a grant pilot program, so we weren't sure what type of interest we were going to be able to have. So that's why it was just, let's see what the cities are interested in doing at that time.
Is there any chance that we can go back to Mr. Bramall as well as, you know, with the break-even brewery and offer them more? I mean, why did the city's decline eventually fall out? Was it because it was too expensive and there wasn't enough funds to cover it, or what?
Well, I believe the city of Jackson declined because they have some in the city already. The city of Ione, did they end up putting one in that?
City manager. No, we did not.
Okay. So lots of the cities, it was just they weren't interested at the time. Maybe there wasn't so much interest back then because regulations weren't as hard, but I didn't get any explanation
I think cost was a big factor. I think it was more money than you thought it'd be. One question I would have, I don't know, maybe somebody here might know about the one in Jackson, but when they're putting these charging stations in, who's paying for electricity? Is there like a credit card deal where you pay for your electricity, or is it just a gimme from the city or whoever?
I believe there's an option. I think that's all customizable to what the cities want to do. I do believe there's an option that the city can install it and all have the customer pay for its own electricity via a credit card app. I don't know how else, but I do know that it's customizable to what.
Yeah, I'm not so sure how, if I want to support free electricity for people, whether here or passing through. It's one thing to have a station available where they can pay for it, but it's something else if it's a freebie.
Yeah, Tesla just installed a row of them right behind Mel's.
I think there's about seven or eight.
Is there? Impressive. If you drive back there, it's just
they lost a lot of parking spots there. And if I had a diesel truck, you used to be able to go up there and make a turn.
Yes.
Now it's all blocked up. Yes. And
Hermania?
Yes.
Is it all right if I address the call, having some of the users pay for it?
Yes, please do so, Bruce.
Yeah, one of the more important things I think to us was that there was discussion about whether the city should pay for it or whether we should have the customers pay for it. And I think there's been a strong belief by both the brewery and a little debate in town about whether the customer should pay for it. But because these services also provide data on tourists and, you know, potentially usage, we would definitely like to see those charges be put back onto the customer and not on the city. They're also very minimal. The electrical charges themselves don't seem to be the real impetus to, like, doing this installation. Much more of the costs are the installation and the upgrades to PG&E.
Oh, I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the Tesla station they put in Jackson, I don't know if Tesla paid for it or the PG&E ratepayers paid for it, but they had a lot of problems and they started hitting that greenstone going through that parking lot.
Well, and isn't there a maintenance cost involved with the actual pumps themselves and the credit card issue?
It depends on how you set it up. So you can either have an annual payment that you pay and the maintenance is all included, or you can buy it outright and then you have a maintenance charge on top of that.
Bruce, this is Director Crew. You said it was going to be a two-headed system. Is that one Tesla and one the other system?
So what we had been looking at, we've looked at two different ones. We've had it's been very difficult, and Susan can talk to it a little bit too, but finding electricians that can actually do the installations have been part of the problem. What we were looking at most recently is ChargePoint, which allows for both, I think, the Tesla and any other type of vehicle charger. We would like to accommodate anybody that would like to come and park and charge. I think both the merchant and ourselves would like to also make it so that people couldn't just park and consume the space. We want them to move, you know, charge and move on. So we can set up that criteria as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Comments?
We also, we also could kind of be a guinea pig to demonstrate what are all the processes for doing so in case you guys do open it up to others in the future. You know, a business for the city to take this on has not been an easy thing, but I think the idea of having it go to the businesses directly might be a real good direction to head at some point.
I still think this is a good idea to have these charging stations, and it's part of the problem why it hasn't taken off is we're not offering enough funding. Maybe we should rethink, you know, what we're offering to help get it installed and go back to some of those folks that weren't able to, make it pencil out. And if we can, if there's additional funds available from any, I don't know if there are.
I know last time we discussed this, there was a discussion about not just focusing on one type of charging, like for Tesla only. And so if we have multiple, you know, points of charging in any spot, I think that would be optimal. Is that what this is going to be?
That's what we're proposing. We definitely do not want to be Tesla only.
Right. Okay. Great.
In fact, most of the charger, I think a lot of our people that would be visiting our town would not necessarily be Tesla.
Great.
This is Diane Ratton. These funds were made available in 2018, is that correct?
That is correct, yeah.
And are there additional funds that have been made available subsequent to that distribution that we could also possibly tap into should we want to expand the program and or the amounts?
I would probably have to wait until we start working on our budget to be able to determine that. At this point, I know we had those $15,000. They are still there. And I haven't, those haven't been, they haven't changed. So to be able to expand on this project, and I do understand that, you know, when this did start, it was 2018, the hype for electric vehicles wasn't the biggest, but with everything with COVID, with everything going up right now, you know, I do understand that the costs have gone up. So in order to bring back another pilot program with offering more money, I would have to put some more thought into it and look at what our budget can withstand.
Say, Herminia, is the total in the budget right now $15,000, and then we were going to hand out three grants of $5,000? Is that how it was going to work?
The $15,000 we kept just transferring from budget to budget because this was approved in 2018. And we had, at the time, we had the three interested cities, so Jim would just push that $15,000 into the next budget just so that it was there in case these cities wanted to partake. But then since they started dropping out, the money has just been moving from one budget to the next.
Okay, so we've offered the Amador City $5,000, and then there's presumably $10,000 remaining, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Director Brown, back to Paul Brammel's, his project, he was looking for 15 or 20, wasn't he?
I don't remember the exact amount, but he said
but it was like four charging stations. There was,
yeah, he could not do it for the 5,000. You know, it was an incredible amount that because he had to redo the whole electrical in the building to handle everything. That's the thing that I think it's hitting most of our old facilities is being able to upgrade their electrical.
Yeah.
Well, then you have to meet all ADA compliance as well. So, you know, when you're talking about a project,
oh boy,
you do have to meet all the building requirements as well to be able to install these. So that's probably been another...
That'd be a real poison pill.
Yeah, it's been another roadblock for many of the cities.
On to the gas station.
Well, does the board want to consider the additional $10,000 request, or do we want to consider looking at the budget and see if there's enough for this project and maybe the Paul Bramall project?
You mean an additional five, total of 10?
Yeah.
No, I think what they were asking for is in addition to the five, 10,000 more, so the whole $15,000.
No, up to 10,000, no. I think.
Correct.
To 10,000? Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's going to be a lot more costly than that, but 10,000 was what we were asking for as the number, so.
Okay, total 10,000. All right.
Yeah.
So that means we still have $5,000 left, and then presumably if Paul Bramall wants to do it for $10,000, we could try to make him the same offer, but you would have to determine if the budget supports that. Is that correct?
Correct.
And, you know, quick question for Robert, if I may. I go by Mills fairly often. It seems as though I haven't walked there to see if they're actually plugged in. There seems to be a number of vehicles parked there. What have you heard as far as the ones at Mills?
The ones that are charging? Well, it's basically Teslas that are there. So.
Yeah, are they getting many vehicles there or much use?
I've seen up to maybe four at a time. So it just depends on the day, I guess. Hmm.
Are you still getting some use, Bob, out of the single charging stations that they have, what, one by the restrooms and one down under City Hall? Is that still there?
Yes. Usually when I walk down there and take a look, there's something plugged in. So I was there yesterday.
Well, they are getting used.
Yeah.
But the ones behind Mel's are Tesla only, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think probably.
Do you see any benefit, Bob,
huh?
From having those plugged in, from having those stations? Does Jackson see any benefit? You know, like more people shopping or something?
It's hard to tell. You'd have to do a study or something. But just having that available, I think, is great for having people come to your city. Just an added incentive if someone that's driving an electric vehicle or a Tesla.
I guess here it would be nice if you had one that would do both types.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you had two, whatever it took. One that, you know, was dual purpose or two, that, you know, one of each.
Yeah, I think that's what we discussed when we initially discussed it, was we can't just focus on a Tesla or whatever, because everybody doesn't have a Tesla, and it's taxpayer funded, basically, by the air district, so can't discriminate.
And Bruce, that's what we're proposing, right?
We definitely do not want it to be a Tesla only, for sure. That's why we were going with ChargePoint. And the point of having the value of it bringing people into town, I think the one thing that we get out of such a station is we can have the data that shows us how many people are coming and how long they're staying, as well as a variety of different types of vehicles, not just, not just simply having it there for the use. We can get data from it to help us understand what's happening.
Okay. What do we want to do?
I think
we get the budget and what we do on the next item.
Yeah, we've had two requests now, correct? Paul Bramall and this project.
At the time when we started the grant pilot in 2018, Paul Bramall was one of them,
mm-hmm.
And then this one.
So now we just have this one. So if we were to contact and circle back to Paul Bramall, if we took that $15,000 and split it in half, I wonder if he would be more receptive to putting in one up there, if that would help.
We could contact him. We could see what his deal is, see if he's still interested or not.
What the rest of the board thinks, but
one thing I will say, there's probably be more and more electric vehicles. I think it's somewhat being overblown. They're saying all combustion vehicles are gone by 2040. I mean, fat chance of that. But I will say, if they're looking to do something in Amwater City, and if they're looking to do their electrical work right now, I mean, if you want to do it, now's probably time. I think it might be easier, because if they're putting in their underground and doing whatever, you say, hey, we want to have a charging station there, it'd probably be more cost effective to do it now than later. But just a thought.
Yeah, the timeline for this is extremely extensive. We had no idea. The brewers are doing their electrical work now, and they're still going to be 3 to 4 months out to even get the upgrades from PG&E.
Are they upgrading to accommodate the charging station at this point, or are they upgrading just to accommodate their business?
Because they're upgrading, this seems like it'd be enticing to them to add this as well. If we can have and allow for more funds to go towards it, it would allow for them to make the decision much more easy for them. It is a pretty costly endeavor for them for what they're doing already. So this is a perfect opportunity for us to try to make it happen, because they're already going through the motion. If we were to try to do it as a city, I don't think we'd ever be able to afford it, because when Susan and I looked and had PG&E come out, for any upgrades we were going to do, was going to be at least twice what we're asking for just for PG&E. So
that was our experience as well.
Yeah.
In 18, so I can't imagine what it is now.
And it's months. The lead time is just, it's incredible how long that is, even to just get estimates from electricians to do the installation of the chargers themselves, so.
It sounds like they're probably going to be putting in the infrastructure, and they could add it later. Maybe look and see what we got in the budget and what else is there. Because it sounds like they're going to have their electrical work done anyway.
And it looks like Jackson, they wouldn't be. They've just got their charging stations. But we're back to the city of Sutter Creek gets wind of, if they could get more money, they would have done it. Because I think they had two or three choices. Didn't at one time Sutter Creek want to put three of them in?
Yeah, I've been pushing for years to get those electric stations in, and I haven't heard any proposal come forward on it.
Okay.
But I'd sure like to see it. And I think we had a business that's either in the process of putting one in, or they're planning on doing it soon. So.
And you have two parking lots, so perfect.
Right.
Bruce, doesn't Element have a charging station?
Yeah, Element has charging, has Tesla only.
That's what I was thinking of.
And that's at the hotel at Hanford. It's actually Hanford mm-hmm. House.
Well, would it be worth us putting out some inquiries as to whether or not anybody else is interested in this again before we go ahead and expend the money that we already have and revisit this at our next meeting?
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I could do that. I could send out letters again.
I would definitely like us to contact the gentleman who applied last time.
Paul Bramall.
Right, and see if he's still interested or would be interested if there were
more
money to offer him.
Absolutely.
Hey, may I make one other comment?
Yes.
I believe in the original grant, there was a stipulation of having to have the charger there for 7 years as well.
That was another thing.
I think
thing.
That if you're going to look to reevaluate this, you might want to, especially if you're going to allow commercial businesses to be potentially involved, that you might want to change that wording or how that is set up.
Thank you,
Bruce.
I'm not quite sure, but I think it's hard to, I mean, technology changes so much that having someone commit to 7 years, and especially a city like ourselves, is quite a burden if it's not possible. So, I mean, the investment is already going to be fairly large for whoever takes it on, that having that kind of a you would hold somebody to it, but I think just having the wording in there might scare some people away.
And if we're not going to hold them to it, why have the wording?
Yeah, exactly.
That was one of, when Paul Bramall came back to the board, that was one of his stipulations, that the 7 years was a little bit excessive for him, and the board did agree to do his grant for 5 years at that time.
Hmm. That seems reasonable.
I would agree. 5 years seems reasonable.
Okay. Anything else? Do we want to see if there's any additional funding in the budget to allow larger grants?
What would the board be comfortable with for each?
Well, until we see next year's budget, I can't answer. How long is the string?
Yeah.
Well, by the time you send them a letter and we meet again, we may have a much preliminary idea, right? I mean,
correct, yes.
Yeah, I think after the budget's determined, we look back at this again and try and increase it. I think it would be good to increase it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll bring that back to the next board meeting.
So in the letter, you won't have an amount like $10,000. You'll just say that there might be an increase.
That is correct.
And I also agree, Hermia, that cities might be much more interested in 2021 than they were in 18 and 19.
Yes, sir. True.
We should probably contact everybody again.
Again, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Give everybody a shot at it.
I would agree.
Okay, so do you have a clear direction, Herminia?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments on this item? Okay. All right, let's move on to item five, which is a loan to the Vicini Brothers. And can you talk about this, Herminia? And then we have a letter also from one of the owners of the company.
Yes, we do. So the Vicini Brothers LLC loan, at our last January meeting, it was brought to the board that the Amador Air District provided a loan to the Vicinis in the amount of $100,000. The loan was due for repayment, and the Vicinis did come up to speak at that time, and they explained why they hadn't been able to repay their loan. Since then, an ad hoc committee was formed at that meeting, and it was formed with Director Onetto and Director Forrester, myself, and Glenn Splitzer from the Deputy County Council also attended these meetings. There was two meetings held. We got information from Kathy Vicini and Paul Molinelli Jr. from Vicini and ACES respectively. And Glenn from our county council, he put together a memo for us. So we need the board to recommend the ad hoc committee. Recommendation is to forgive the loan in its full amount, and we have documentation from Deputy County Council saying that as long as the board can determine and prove that it is not a gift of public funds, that you do have the authority to forgive the loan. We also have a letter from the Vicinis that they provided to us on March 11th. Everybody, I emailed it out shortly after I sent out the packet. In addition to it, we Richard, Director Forrester, is on vacation, so he was not able to attend our meeting today, but he did send an email to Director Onetto, Glenn Splitzer, and myself today, and there is a statement in this email that he would want us to be read, so it's part of the record for the public comment on the the agenda item. Brian, do you want to read it? Do you have it?
Not with me, no.
So it says, regarding the forgiveness of the Vicini loan, Vicini brothers have created a business from scratch after seeing a need in the community. They won't get rich in this green waste venture, but they will help residents save thousands of dollars by their creation of a place for local green waste that minimizes the need to transport out of county at a much higher rate. While the state wants a facility like Vicini Brothers Green Waste, the State Water Board imposes significant regulations on their businesses for stormwater improvements in other areas. These were shown to the AED Board of Directors at the last board meeting, and I've asked APCO Perry to provide a copy of the Vicini letter to each board member to not forget that dealing with the state's regulatory agencies is a major hurdle for a business still in its infancy. If we want to keep rates down, it requires the county to have a thriving green waste facility. Let's work together with the Vicinis in a public-private partnership. I also want board members to look at the issue of public funds being viewed as a gift. If that is the case, we should not be paying for residents to dispose of their pine needles. There is a rationale for the pine needle program, just as there is rationale as pointed out by Deputy County Council Splitzer in his memo supporting this request to forgive the equipment loan. Richard. We also got documentation from Paul Molinelli Jr. showing the cost of what it cost right now to dispose of the current disposal rates with Vicini, and Sierra Wood Waste is one of the other vendors that ACES takes the green waste to, and it does show the savings of $110,000 if ACES was forced to just take the green waste to Sierra Wood Waste in Sacramento. Pine needle, sorry. Kathy is not on the phone. Tony is in San Diego, and he was supposed to call, so I don't have any of the Vicinis, but I don't know if Director Onetto wants to talk about the meetings from the ad hoc committee.
Sure.
Hey, Herminia, I think in the letter, somewhere I read that they paid a certain amount already to it, or did I misread that?
The Vicinis made payments. They're still continuing to make payments to the John Deere loan that they got. That was through the one that they went to buy the grinder. So they've been making payments on the John Deere loan.
Yeah, I could probably address this.
I also read in a letter you sent today that they were willing to, if we could give them an extension in time, they'd be willing to keep paying on the loan.
That is correct. That's at their last board meeting, that's what their letter was saying, that they would consider either an extension of time or even a reduction of payback amount on the loan to the Air Board so graciously extended to us. Those were from their letter.
Yeah.
Director Onetto, before I remember this deal, and I thought that when they sold the used unit, they were going to reduce the loan amount to us, but instead they sent it towards the payment on the machine. So they limited their liability and left us with 100% liability.
Well, that's part
remind
of the
me
story.
Not to
that's
make this kind of loan again.
That's part of the story.
Okay, that's what I remember.
But what else happened is I remember they were going to go, they had their old machine. This is where you have CARB helping the community and helping the business, and I'm being facetious, by the way. And what happened is the CARB regulation, the Air Board regulation in the state of California, which they foisted on us, were saying that they can no longer run their old machine. They had to replace it with a newer, updated machine. So Vicini says, hey, we can't run this grinder we have to get an updated machine. They talked to this Air Board, and basically there's a state-funded grant through the Air Board, to state Air Board, where if they bought an updated machine, they could get so much money to pay for the cost of that machine. So you don't always know all the intricacies of government regulations, so they went ahead and purchased a newer updated machine and went through the process to get some of the funding that was, they believed, available from the state, or through the Amador Air Board, through the state program. Correct me if I'm wrong, Herminia, but I think that's how it went. And they're going through that process, and all of a sudden the state said, well, wait a minute, you bought the machine before we gave you the funding. We're not giving you the funding. So they kind of went out on a limb to a certain degree, trying to update it, their equipment to stay in good graces with the Air Boards, and then thought they had a funding mechanism that would help them do that, and then the state says, we're not doing that. So that kind of put us in a hard position, and it really put the Vicinis in a hard position, because they went out thinking, hey, the state's forcing us to update our machinery. We're going to do it. And then they were told, sorry. So what I do look at, so that was kind of – that's a problem. One reason why I recommended that we could put some funding towards this is – our pine needle program, Vicini's accepted a lot of pine needles, very cheap or maybe even free, can't remember exactly. A lot of pine needles for a lot of years, and green waste, which if you look at the numbers, I mean, roughly we're saving $100,000 a year to the residents of this county. And when they went out and purchased that machine, it's part of the same deal. I understand they're a private business, but they're also providing a service that you can't find anywhere else in this county, and if you haul it out of county, it's going to be really expensive. So I'm a nuts and bolts fiscal guy, and so I go, well, okay, and I'm Genovese and also, by the way, so we watch the dollars. Is this a gift of public funds? To a certain degree, it is, but there's also a public purpose it serves. And if we go ahead and basically grant them these funds, give them these funds, however you want to term it. I think one thing we should probably have is something saying, hey, depending how much we give them, it's contingent on them staying open for, you know, a year at least minimum, because that's what it takes to recoup the savings from them being open. So that's one thing I'm looking at, is I don't want to say, hey, here's the dollars, you know, go and be happy, and tomorrow they say, we're closed up. I'd like to stay open and taking the green waste from Amador County residents and ACEs, which is Amador County residents in general, for a minimum a year. And I see that would be that's a fair equation for everybody.
So could we just redo this loan as a forgivable loan and add criteria like you said, as well as I don't know how many employees they have, but with COVID and businesses closing, if we could maintain their employee level at a certain level at the same time, that would also be helpful for the county.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want to do that to them, though. That's getting pretty detailed, Ms. Ratton. I'm looking at – I understand where you're coming from, but that's getting – I wanted to provide a service to the county, and how they do that, the citizens of the county, I think that's kind of none of my business or our business. But maybe if you wanted to make it maybe longer, maybe if they're open for 2 years, so maybe if they're only open for 1 year, they get half the money. If they're open for 2 years and the full amount's forgiven, that might work. And if they're open for, and if they're, if they close tomorrow, zero.
The letter of the 16th, though, says that the ad hoc committee has concerns that this loan is not forgiven in its full amount. The Vicini brothers may potentially go out of business.
Well, if we don't, and we may forgive it, well, it's, they might, because, I mean, it's, I think it's been a struggle there, you know, because you've got the water board saying they want this, and you have all these government boards saying they want more and more and more. That's additional cost.
So if we help them survive, we almost have to forgive them.
Possibly. I mean, yeah, and I think, you know, what you can do is, so if we say, hey, pay back the loan, they may say, we're going to shut down the business, sell the grinder, we're out of here.
Right.
But if we say, you know, maybe if you're open for 1 year, we'll forgive half the loan. If you're open for 2 years, we'll forgive the full loan. And that way the taxpayers have more and got their money out of it and a benefit. Just a thought. So, I mean, that's kind of, that's what I see. That's kind of why we made that recommendation. And I'd kind of like to hear from the rest of the board how they feel about it.
If I must.
May I ask a very fundamental question? How much is this loan?
$100,000.
Okay. And you indicated that there's $100,000 savings to the county by utilizing their services?
Yearly.
About 110.
Annually.
Yeah.
So the loan is $100,000 over a 2 year period. We're going to have a net savings, actually a profit of about $20,000. Well, actually $120,000. To the county in general. It seems like a good return on investment to go ahead and work with them on making this a forgivable loan.
Yeah, I think it would. And I think long-term it could help a lot having that there. And I think the permitting process was arduous for them. And the way things are going in California, I don't see the permitting process getting easier. So would, you know, if they go out of business, would anybody else come in? Maybe, I should say.
And that was a brand new machine, so the usable life with no little maintenance is probably 7 to 10 years, I would think.
Yeah, and also, just in case people are listening, Vicini's does sell compost out there. It's, people have talked to them about it, says it really, really, really does real well. So all you gardeners, there's a good source for compost.
I know that there isn't any. Go ahead.
What are the arguments against extending the payments? That seems like a win-win to me.
Well, yeah, we've got an excellent return on our investment, it would it seem, over a 2 year period.
Yeah, I would agree.
Supervisor Brown.
I don't know that you could call this a gift of public funds when, in fact, there's a net gain for the county in general of over $100,000.
You know, and that's one of the things we looked at because it's a concern we had, is could this be looked at as a gift of public funds, and we wouldn't want to be in that boat. We see, you know, we looked at, well, no, there's like you were saying, there's, especially if they stay open for 2 years, there is going to be a benefit to the citizens.
Director Brown, you had a comment?
Yeah, Supervisor Brown. I was just kind of curious if we kind of, I'm doing the same thing but reverse the process, where if they stay open 2 to 3 years and at that point we forgive the loan. If they provide the service to the county,
yeah,
and then at that period of time we say, okay, your loan.
I would agree. Hold it in abeyance or whatever you call it. They still owe it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that time, a couple years, and if they've been in business. And
so that their cost will be to prove us that they were a benefit to the county, which, you know, ACES has kind of already done for them, but, you know, just to prove it to us.
Well, wasn't one of their main concerns the monthly payment that they were making?
That was for the machine itself, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, so they aren't making any payments on this loan at this time?
They have, correct. I don't think they've made any.
They have not.
I've made none.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what you were proposing, Director Brown, was to allow them to operate for 2 or 3 years, and then the loan would be forgiven, but in addition, not pay anything on the loan unless they default on the agreement?
Correct.
Okay.
I'd like to see it go the latter to at least 3 years rather than two to make it easier for the whole thing to happen.
In my mind, it was, you know, kind of 5 years, you know, since they started in 2018.
Even better.
To the 3 years, you know, that's what my mind, you know, I was running with, so a five-year, you know, system.
So you're thinking three more years.
3 more years, yeah.
And if they only stay up maybe a year, we'd prorate it so much, you know, one third per year. So if it's 2 years, two thirds, 3 years, it's be considered paid.
Right.
I could agree with that.
I like that approach as well.
Me too.
I do want to.
In agreement with.
Frank, or Director,
this doesn't sound like a loan to me. It sounds like a grant.
Right.
If they haven't ever paid anything.
At that point, it would be. You'd be correct.
I do want to take the time to read the letter that we received on March 11th, so it's on the record, from the Vicinis, from Tony Vicini. Since they're not on the line today, just so that we all have it. So it says, to whom it may concern, Vicini Brothers is trying very hard to continue paying off the Vermeer grinder purchased, in part with the funds from the loan acquired from the Amador Air District. We appreciate your help, and without the newer grinder, we would have had to close the plant 2 years ago. What we did not anticipate was that the State of California Water Resources Board and the Water Quality Control Board would demand so much in the way of site renovation, permits, fees, and engineering costs these last 2 years. Because of the added cost of doing business, we are struggling to meet all our obligations at this time. It is possible that without some sort of grant funding to help cover the cost of the grinder, we may not be able to continue operations. That would ultimately mean closing down and selling what equipment we have. This is not our choice. We wish to keep operations going and hope that things will get better in the near future. We feel that we are an asset to the community and to other businesses such as ACES and desire to continue working for our county. We would like to ask if the Amador Air Board would consider granting Vicini Brothers, LLC, the funds used for the purchase of the Vermeer grinder. Thank you for your support, Tony Vicini.
Okay, so what do we want to do at this point?
This is Supervisor Brown. I would suggest that we have Hermini make up a kind of a contract, if you will say.
Okay.
And put it in there that, you know, that we will, if they stay in business for the next 3 years, that excuse their loan, or?
I will work with county council for that, yes.
And probably suspend the payments.
And suspend the payments, yeah.
Okay.
So if they keep taking green waste from ACES, basically, for 3 years?
Yes.
And then we'd want to make sure that we have each year, one-third of the loan will be forgiven.
Correct.
Is there anything you'd like to add, Tony?
Paul Molinelli, ACES Waste Services. It would be truly a shame to lose Vicini's, because this number on here, this $110,000 that were savings, if we had to take everything to Sierra Wood Waste, the cost to our customers, which are all over the county, would go up. So I'm very glad to see that they will be hopefully around in business for a very long time. So thank you.
Thank you.
So the profit or the savings, Paul, actually goes to the ratepayers. It doesn't come back to the Air District.
Right. Right.
That's all right.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this? Just checking.
Yes. I had one question.
Go ahead.
Who actually owns the equipment? I hear you guys saying that if they were to go out of business, then the loan wouldn't be forgiven. But if they're out of business, they're in essence not going to get that money back anyway. Would the equipment at least be counties?
The equipment belongs.
Be put into this deal?
The equipment belongs to the Cinis.
Right, but if they were to go belly up, I mean, is that something that you could at least?
I think that's between John Deere and the Cinis.
Yeah, they're going to take that.
Yeah, not
okay.
Their district.
So if they go out of business, I mean, basically, it's going to be a loss probably no matter what, right?
Yeah,
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and the county probably doesn't want a grinder anyway.
No, I understood that. I just meant it's something that they could be sold.
I understand.
Yeah.
No, I understand it's an asset that could be sold, but I don't know.
Or given to somebody else to take over the service if they did go up under.
Well, let's hope that they'll stay in business for a while. So.
Do we
need
a motion down there? Or?
Yes.
Just direction, Herminia.
Well, it's direction. I don't think I was.
I think I probably need a motion, I would think, on something.
I would agree, yes.
Okay. Well, I'd make a motion that we come up with a contract with Vicini to forgive the loan for a percentage each year for up to 3 years.
And I'll second that.
Okay. And suspend.
And then just.
What's that?
And suspend the payments.
And suspend any payments.
And be one-third each year?
Yes.
So roll call, Jeff Brown?
Aye.
Linda Rianda?
Aye.
Brian Onetto?
Aye.
Bob Stimson?
Aye.
Pat Crew?
Aye.
Susan Bragstad?
I'm not sure. Can I ask one question?
Sure.
If they had been making payments, which I assume they were, what were the payments? What was it per month?
They had not been making any payments to the Air District.
What would they have been if they had been making payments?
I don't think there was a monthly setup. I know. Susan, I don't believe there's a monthly payment plan, nothing like that. They talked, the Air Board told us, hey, they're having problems making the payment. Could they delay the payment? I think we had, I believe there's something like that. I'm not sure on that, but I believe there was.
So their contract that was originally made was that in 2 years, the full payment would have been due. It wasn't monthly payment, so they were going to sell the grinder. What they got out of the grinder would have gone to the Air District as part of repayment of this loan, and then that remaining balance at the end of the 2 years was due to the Air District.
And that was if they'd got the original grant from the Air Board as part of that deal.
I don't know.
The loan.
I thought it was, yeah. I could be wrong on that. It may not have been. It was involved somewhere along the way.
I'm going to vote no.
All right. Frank X?
I'll vote yes.
And Diane Ratton?
I'll vote yes.
All right.
Okay, the motion carries 7-1. Okay. And you'll bring back the contract and all that for the next
to our next meeting.
Execute that. Okay. So let's move on to item six. Which is the Air Pollution Control Officer's update.
So on this one, we have the Smoke Reduction Bend Program, an update on that one. We are coming about to starting our Neighborhood Bend program for the months, and usually I start up in May or April, May, depending on the weather. If we get a lot of rain in April, then I usually postpone it until May. But that goes for our neighborhood ones. I will also be looking into starting up the free disposal days at the transfer stations for the couple of months, because I do get that grant from CARB. CARB gives us the AB617617 implementation funds that I got last year, so I will be able to get it again this year. I also, Matt and I, took a drive to the Wood Angel, thanks to Director Brown. He got in contact with us to see if we could potentially use the Wood Angels site as one of the, where we put a bin, and we have either a day a month where the green waste bin is there, and once it gets full, then it gets taken out. They seem to be on board, so we need to just, you know, touch bases and see what days work for them, and that might be a substitute to the transfer station one, just because the transfer station does cost a lot of money when it comes to their employees. We do pay a lot of money on that. So if we can have the Wood Angels help us out with their sites, that's another potential site that we can use upcountry, so that would be great. The other thing is just our financials through March 11th. That's about it.
So where exactly is the Wood Angels site?
It is on
Silver Drive near the Union 76 station.
Okay.
Right across the street.
The one thing I did ask County Council on this is if they could ask for donations. You know, not a requirement, but if somebody's coming over to drop stuff off, the donations would go directly to the Wood Angels, and that would be permitted. Because their people would be the ones that would be telling constituents where to drop the stuff off at their site, kind of control things.
What did County Council say on that?
He said it was okay.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board on this? Okay. And did you go through the financials, or are you just accepting questions on that right?
Just accepting questions if anybody has questions. We have been, or Director Axe and myself have been meeting on a monthly basis since our last meeting to discuss the monthly financials. We have our meeting coming up at the end of this month as well, and so we did incorporate that into our meetings or our routine for the Air District.
Okay. So do we need is there any public comment? Okay. Did we need an approval of the budget?
No, this is just this is just for informational purposes only.
Okay. All right. So there's no further questions. There's no correspondences. So we will adjourn until May 18th, 2021. There's no further comments. We'll see you next time, and thanks for coming.
Thank you. Yep.
All right, drink.
Bye now.
Thank you, Hermie.
Bye.
You're welcome, Susan. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.